this morning in the precious name of Jesus. And it's good to be back home again. You know, of all the traveling I have done, there's nothing greater than coming home and being at home in your own home and worshiping with home brethren. So, yeah, welcome to the service this morning. Glad to have you here, Bo, and glad you're feeling better. If you care to turn to John chapter 8, this is a direct result of my personal Bible study. And I don't know what you would call this, but maybe expository, is that the right word? Where you just read the scriptures and then kind of talk about some of the verses. That's kind of what this would be. And I also want to say that I've never struggled so hard to stay awake this morning trying to study as I did this morning. I got up pretty early and couldn't sleep even an hour and a half before that. So when I got up, then I could finally sleep. And it was awful. So pray for me. I don't know where this is going to go this morning. All right, John chapter 8. We'll read the first two verses. Maybe the first three. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman. The thought I want out of this, is that this is Jesus as he was teaching in the temple, and the people it was a mixed multitude. It was a people of common people. It was Jewish leaders. It was scribes and Pharisees. It was people of all walks of life that came here, and Jesus took the opportunity and had a Sunday school lesson with them where he taught them, he preached to them. And if we drop down to verse 10, this was right after the scribes and Pharisees brought to Jesus the woman, and we know the story, how she was taken in adultery. For some reason, they never brought the man. I'm not sure why. Because if you look in the law, the man was every bit as responsible as the woman. But in verse 10, Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." "No man, Lord." And Jesus' words, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now, because of the way this is all written, this is where we stop the story. It's because of the, I guess because the authors, you know, kind of put a, made this one story, then they started in verse 12. But keep in mind that this is an ongoing story from verse 1 to verse 59. Verse 2 says, "Early in the morning he came again unto the temple, and he taught the people." Now in verse 59 it says, "They took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." So this was all in one teaching session. This was all in one church service, if you want to call it that. Verse 12, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying," unto who? Who was he talking to? Who was his audience? Of course, it was the people in verse 2. It was the people that had gathered in the church, in the temple, to listen to him teach the word. He said unto them, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now remember, he had just got done telling the woman, the adulterous woman, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And immediately he turns around and says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So Jesus is basically saying, if we follow the logic of Jesus' words, he is basically saying is that when we sin, we are walking in darkness. When we do not follow Jesus Christ, we are in darkness. Sin and darkness go hand in hand. Sin is darkness. When we truly follow Jesus Christ, we will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said in verse 10 again, go and sin no more. Go and don't walk in darkness. Go and repent. Go and follow after me, is what he was saying. You shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You shall have Jesus in your hearts. When Jesus comes into our heart, darkness has to go. Darkness and the light cannot abide in the same heart. There is a definite change that comes into our life. Recently, my wife and I had the privilege to visit with a couple, and we were discussing life, some struggles that they were facing, It was illuminating to me some of the struggles they were facing. But what I was going to say is, in our conversation, in the couple's struggles, they both said that they failed. They did not make all the right choices, the best choices. But their testimony was that they would like to walk more closely with the Lord. You know, when we understand what darkness really is, it's the absence of truth, it's the absence of Jesus, it's the absence of Christ Jesus ruling in our heart. It kind of gives us a shock to bring us back to Christ Jesus. Because we don't want to walk in darkness. We don't want to walk in sin. We want to repent and turn away from the darkness that is in our life. And I give this as a confession. Last Sunday night in Texas, I was asked to preach on the responsibilities of the minister to the congregation. And my text was in Acts chapter 20, 17 through the end of the chapter. But in verse 28, if you know that chapter, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And soon after I was ordained, my wife's uncle had called me, and he said, many ordained men get the second part straight. They take heed of the flock of God. They take heed of the church, but they never consider the first part. They never take heed of themselves. What is coming out of their life? What are you saying? What are you thinking? What are you doing? And I was preaching this. This was Sunday night. Monday we traveled home. Tuesday I was on the job. And we were working on a church house. And some of the stuff that the contractor, the roofing contractor, had done was really stupid. It was really dumb. And I made a remark that was not kind at all. You know, and it took a little bit till the Holy Ghost actually got a hold of me and said, "Do you know what you just said?" And I'm not going to repeat that, what I said, but it was not kind. And I had to turn around and apologize to my boys. Because we need to take heed. Again, we cannot walk in darkness and claim the light of life. We cannot walk in sin and claim we are following Jesus Christ. We cannot claim the blood of Christ on our hearts and our lives and continue to walk after the carnality of the flesh. These are all contrary to Jesus Christ. You know, the longer we live in this darkness of sin, the harder it is to live above the dictates of the flesh, to correct the habits that we've formed. Because it seems like it just, these bad habits just, they wear a groove in your brain, in your mind, in your life. And it's so easy when you make a, you know, when you finally get up off the, out of the ditch, it's so easy to slip right back into it without even thinking of it. Walking in the light. But praise the Lord, it is possible to get out of that ditch. It is possible to walk in light. It is possible to have Jesus Christ as our light of life. But maybe this is walking in the light of the world, in the light of life. Maybe some of that is. I don't think it's that difficult. I mean, not difficult. It's not that hard to understand. Because when we follow Jesus Christ in his will, we are walking in light. Because Jesus Christ is light. Now, verse 20 says, "These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple." So this is still continuation. It's still a continuing of this teaching session in the temple that he started in verse 2. It says, "No man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." Now, if you look in earlier in the book of John, You see where, and I didn't write any of these down, but it numerous times it says that, I had seen earlier at least two or three times where it says, because his hour was not yet come, because his hour was not there, therefore they did not lay hands on him, therefore they did not stone him, they did not kill him. You know, how many times do we get to the point where we think we have to do something about this? We have to get this straightened up. We have to, whatever we're facing. Maybe I don't know. Didn't even think of what example I could give. But maybe it's a thing in our family that is bothering me, and we think we have to get this straightened up. We have to do this. I'm not advocating continuing to live in sin, but remember, God's timing is always perfect. God's timing is always right. When God's timing is right, then things will happen if we are seeking his face. Jesus time was not yet. Therefore, the people did not lay hands on him. They did not get him. They did not catch him. They did not arrest him. They didn't. But later, when the time was right, then that happened. Verse 24 says, I therefore said unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Faith, believing, is another aspect of walking in the light. We believe Jesus Christ. It says here in verse 24 that if we believe not that I am he, Jesus' words speaking, ye shall die in your sins. Do you have faith this morning? Do I have faith? Do I believe, truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? That he is the Savior of the world, and that he is the light of life, the bread of life, the water of life. And that in him all fullness dwells. You know, when we truly have faith in the Lord Jesus, it will cause us to commit our life into Jesus Christ. Verse 28, I was going to read this whole chapter and I forgot. Maybe it would be good if we would just read it. Let's see. Let's start in verse 12, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Summers, boy, if you could start, read verse 12 and just read across, then go right over to here, and you just, everyone read a verse, and then we go back and just go back and forth like that until we have that chapter read, verse 12 of chapter 8, John. You want to read the first verse? Did you read the first 12? Verse 12. And if you don't mind, read loud enough that everybody can hear.
With me. towards those things that we sent.
As he spake these words, many believed on him.
What said Jesus to the Jews that believed on him? Did you continue my word?
All right, well, thank you. As I was reading this, I noticed some of the other verses that were, you know, some of these were a puzzle to me. And until I started reading this from a perspective of one continuous teaching service. Verse 15 says, ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. Now this was Jesus saying this. Then in verse 16 it says, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Now how would you interpret these two verses? You judge after the flesh, I judge no man, and yet if I judge. So was he saying, what was Jesus saying here? I don't judge, but if I do, then it's going to be right. I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe what Jesus was saying is, we as men judge after the flesh. We judge as we see the outward appearance. We judge as what we observe by life, by word, by our perspective. We judge after the flesh. But Jesus Christ is not judging by the flesh. He sees the inner heart. He parts those cloudy situations and get right down to the depth of the heart. That is what Jesus Christ is saying here. What I think he's saying here. He is not judging a man from a man's perspective, but he's judging it from God's perspective, right to the heart. And when he judges, his judgment is going to be true. It's going to be right. Verse 29, we had talked a little bit about the verse 24. 29 says, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always the things that please him. The Father hath not left me alone. Now Jesus was saying here that his relationship with the Father is such that the Father will not leave him alone. Now why did he say when he was hanging on the cross, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? You ever put those two together? Jesus Christ said here, the Father did not leave me alone. He is right with me. But at the cross experience, he said, why did you leave me? So did the Father leave him? Did he? Anyone?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. The Father was right there. He just couldn't feel him. Jesus Christ knew the Father was with him. He said, the Father will never leave me nor forsake me. And yet at the cross experience, when he couldn't really see him, couldn't really feel him, then he felt what, sometimes like we do. That the Father has left me. He's left me to fight this battle by myself. That's not the way of the Father. We need to make this choice that we believe that the Father will not leave us in the very hardest part of the battle. That is not the way of the Father. Verse 30 says, As he spake those words, many believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Continuing in Jesus' words, then we can be God's disciples. We can be Christ's disciples. We can know the truth. The truth shall make us free. The truth can take away this bondage of sin and make us new people in Jesus Christ. Now in verse 33, verse 33, they answered him. Now who answered Christ? Who was in his audience? And again, this is my thoughts. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But I do not believe that they here are the ones that believed in Jesus Christ. I believe these were referring back to the audience of verse 2 possibly the scribes and Pharisees. They said, we are Abraham's seed. They took pride in the fact that they are Abraham's seed, that they don't need Jesus. I don't think it was the ones that believed on the Lord Jesus, but it was the other people that was listening in. And if I'm saying something wrong, I want you to correct that. Because of what Jesus said later in verse 34, it says, let's see. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And then he says, verse 37, I know you are Abraham's seed. He acknowledged that these were the Jews. They are Abraham's seed. But ye seek to kill me. And that's why I think that this they in verse 33 are not the ones that believed in Jesus, because they did not take offense in what Jesus said. They believed on him, but the others that did not believe on him took offense. And they said, well, we are Abraham's seed. We're good people here. And it was the scribes and Pharisees that desired to kill Jesus Christ and to take care of him in that way. Verse 39, and they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, well, if you are Abraham's children, then you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. This did not Abraham. And then he says, verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. And then they threw that thing of fornication into Jesus' face. He says, we're not born of fornication. We have God, even our Father. Excuse me, we have one God, even one Father, even God. And then 42, if God were your Father, you would love me. So this morning again, do we claim God as Father? If we do, do we love the Lord? Jesus said, if we claim God as our Father, if we have God as our Father, then we will love the Lord Jesus. And we will believe that he proceeded forth and came from God. If we do not believe, verse 44, we do the works of our father, the devil. The lust of the father we will do. Later on it says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, speaking of the devil. He is a liar and the father of it. I don't know when that truth became real to me. But when we understand this, that the devil is a liar, and he is the father of lies, he's the one that invented lies. When we read something that is a little bit untrue, that it just doesn't sound right, it just doesn't match up with the rest of the scriptures, mark it down that there is a lie mixed into it some way, and it's from the devil. The devil is a liar, and he's the father of it. When we speak the truth, when we hear the truth, when we do the truth, that is not from the devil, it's from God. Down to verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. From a man's perspective, it would almost seem like Jesus Christ did not tell the truth here. It says he shall never see death, because from the man's perspective, verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham? which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus, again, was not talking of a physical death. You know, from the beginning of Adam unto today, do you know that, and I know you do, but this, the prophecy of God in the there, when he was talking, giving out the punishments, or telling Adam what's going to happen because of his disobedience, he said, man will go back to dust from where he came from. Do you know that without, it was maybe one, or possibly two people that did not experience physical death out of all the millions from then to now? It was Enoch and Elijah. Elijah went up in a whirlwind. Did I say that right? I think so. I get, sometimes I say in a chariot, but I think the Bible says he went up in a whirlwind. The chariot came down and got him then. And Enoch, it says he went, and I didn't read this, but he, because God took him, I think is the way it says. So did Enoch die physically, or did he go to heaven? I don't know. It just says, for God took him. But without exception of those two, it's 100% true that every man on the face of the earth died. Jesus was not talking about physical death. He was talking spiritual death. And the Jews immediately equated that to physical. And they asked him, well, are you greater? Do you say that you are greater? Well, Jesus wasn't, again, he wasn't talking about physical. He was talking spiritual. May we understand that. They asked Jesus, well, who are you? Who makest yourself? Who are you saying? Who are you trying to make yourself to be? Then verse 56, it says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And the Jews just hit the ceiling. They said, then said the Jews unto him, you are not even yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. What a strange way to say it, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. I believe Jesus was simply saying that he never was, he always am. He's the I am, and he was in eternity past, and he will be continue to be in eternity future. Jesus Christ. And then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out. His time was not yet. So this morning, I would like to ask us, challenge us, when we face life, when we walk in our life, when we do our walking, I'm not talking necessarily walking as in walking, but when we live our life, are we truly following the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we truly walking in the light of life? Or do we have these times and these moments of relapsing into sin or into darkness, and we grope our way, trying to find our way, and we just fall and fall and fall? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. May we walk in the light of life this morning. I know I did not give a lot of practical examples of walking in the light. But I trust that the Holy Spirit is able to teach us that when we read the scriptures, allow the scriptures just to teach, to reach our soul. Sometimes when we have so many words to say that the scripture just kind of fades out of the picture, and we wonder why are we struggling so much. Allow the word to speak to your heart. I'll read the word with an open heart, with and try to follow what Jesus is trying to teach us, and it will bless your soul. It will bless your life. Let's kneel for prayer.